catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know heading into this Thursday morning. I'm Sammy Ewing.
And I'm Jessica Seldner.
And this is The Point from WUFT News. We spoke with WUFT reporter Julian Rush on her latest article about the Wi-Fi and technological deficits in rural Marion County. She reports that some residents worry if they'll have reliable phone services to call 911 if there were to be an emergency, or if they'll have reliable Wi-Fi if needed to work from home, or if their children need to take online classes. Listen for more about why she discusses this is an important issue.
One of the sources I interviewed, basically, she was telling me that it's like a bait and switch. So you're having these people moving in and they think it's a great area and it seems like a great area. Then they get there and there's no service and no internet. Then the other side of that is for kids getting homeschooled during the pandemic. There's a lot of problems. One lady said that her child failed. I want to say she like failed two classes because she just couldn't, you know, have access to the online schooling. It's disappointing to see that people aren't being looked out for, especially during a pandemic, that where you cannot go to the places that you need to go. Sometimes you need to work from home or you need to be able to call the police or help if you're in trouble. Like, plenty of elderly in the area are scared that if you don't have service, you can't call for help. So you're kind of off the grid involuntarily out there. That was sad to report on that because there's nothing I can do to really help except for try and tell their story.
Has there been any plans to fix the technology desert?
Okay, Cindy Arco, the public relations manager for Comcast Florida region, basically said that they're reviewing ways to expand the service, but so far, like, they're kind of like looking for new ways, but it's nothing concrete. Like, I'm sure if it was an actual like plan or they have already implemented stuff, she would have told me, but she said they're kind of just like looking for areas right now. Basically, nothing is happening currently and they don't know. Residents haven't been updated on anything really. I contacted the city as well and they essentially said that they have no control in it, that they can inform residents on who the providers are in the area, but that's about all that they can do. And the problem is, I believe there were only three providers that gave 100% coverage in the area. So a lot of people are in areas where you only have one or two choices, or the choice that you have is not very good. I believe HughesNet was like a really popular one. The people that would be able to have an impact aren't having an impact right now. It's kind of all up to the big companies, and it sounds bad, but it's all economics to them. You know, I don't believe that they really care about the human aspect because that doesn't necessarily affect them. I mean, granted, it's bad for PR for them, but if they're not making money, they're not going to care about rural neighborhoods.
Are there any communities this disproportionately affects?
I don't believe so. I mean, it was really like the expert, like in the area that I interviewed, Andy Arevalo, he basically said it's all population. So that's basically, he described it as areas with a lot of houses per mile, they're going to have better coverage. If there's less houses per mile, they're going to have poor coverage. I don't know if it necessarily affects a specific demographic unless, you know, like you look into what demographics are more likely to live in rural areas. But besides that, nothing was mentioned from any of the sources that, hey, this is affecting so-and-so more than this population of people.
That was Julian Rush from WUFT on rural Marion County's Wi-Fi and technological desert. If you would like to read more on her story, please visit WUFT.org. Now, Jessica Seldner will get us into some top headlines.
Alachua County urges anyone who can't pay rent due to COVID-19 to apply for its Emergency Rental Assistance Program. So far, the county has given out over $8 million in federal funds in its first round of relief. A second round with $9.8 million has just been approved. The director of Alachua County Community Support Services, Claudia Tuck, says her team is trying to spread the word far and wide. Program beneficiary Cordell Swan says people falling behind on rent should apply for emergency rental assistance and have patience. Anyone interested can apply online through the county website or in person at the Alachua County Health Department building. According to the Independent Florida Alligator, this past Monday, the city of Gainesville celebrated Indigenous Peoples Day. The mayor, Lauren Poe, unveiled a sign at City Hall, which honors Native peoples, and more specifically, the Tumukua and Patano peoples. It's written in both the native language Tumukua and in English. The Tumukua and Patano people lived in the Gainesville area until the 1700s. The mayor also put in place a proclamation making the holiday official. The Tampa man who killed his girlfriend in 2017 has been sentenced to life in prison, according to the Tampa Bay Times. After the murderer stabbed his girlfriend Cheyenne Lewis 20 times, he fled to his mother's house and was Baker-acted after saying he wanted to die. The jury deliberated for 2 hours to determine the man, Hector Acevedo, guilty of first-degree murder. During the court trial, no one testified on his behalf, and he stared at the ground in the courtroom. As manatees die in record numbers, Florida wildlife officials ask lawmakers for $7 million to help save them. Around 1,000 manatees have died this year, showing how dire the situation is for the endangered species. Many of these animals are dying of starvation because their main food source, seagrass, is disappearing. Fertilizer runoff, sewage disposal, and wastewater treatment plants are overloading local waterways with nutrients. This allows algae to cover the surface of the water and deprive seagrass of sunlight, killing it. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission is seeking $3 million to restore manatee habitat and about $4 million for rehabilitation. This budget request will be considered in the 2022 legislative session, which begins in January.
Subscribe to The Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Visit WUFT.org for more information. I'm Sammy Ewing.
And I'm Jessica Seldner. You've been listening to The Point from WUFT News out of the University of Florida. Happy Thursday.